Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Gordon Chang, our duty expert on matters involving Asia and the Pacific Rim. He is, by the way, playing a similar role for a number of other outlets, including Fox News and Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com and The Daily Beast, where he is a columnist. Gordon Chang is also the author of two terrifically important and very timely books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon, welcome back. It's always good to have you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, you've written recently about a couple of very important and very interrelated things, Gordon. Let's see what we can do to do justice to them. You start, perhaps, with Rex Tillerson, the man widely expected shortly to be confirmed by the United States Senate to be our next Secretary of State in the new Trump administration. And talk to us a little bit, Gordon, about some of the testimony he gave in his confirmation hearing and the rather, well, vociferous, shall we say, response it garnered in Beijing.
Tillerson, in his confirmation hearing, talked about how China would not be allowed to occupy the reclaimed features in the South China Sea. And that, of course, created gasps in the audience. This is something that would be a radical change in American policy. During the Obama administration, China reclaimed about 3,200 acres in the Spratly features. They now have three airstrips, and they have seven reclaimed islands that look like they're going to be ready for military use. And Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, in September 2015 in the Rose Garden, essentially pledged not to militarize them, but that's exactly what they have been doing over recent months. And so there is an indication that the United States needs to do something. We don't know what that something would be, whether it be a combination of military and economic measures, but nonetheless, this is a change in America's posture towards China, where we are no longer looking at what they are doing and are thinking of actually stopping them in some very dangerous activities. China responded a couple days later by saying essentially the United States should be prepared for war. They talked about large-scale war. And so clearly there is an indication in Beijing that they're not very happy with Rex Tillerson. And that's a good thing in the sense that they're starting to understand the U.S. is not going to take the supine position that it did this last century in both the Obama and Bush administrations.
Gordon, you've described very aptly a problem that you helped us illuminate recently in a book called Warning Order, China Prepares for Conflict and Why America Must Do the Same. This is indeed a portentous moment with the Chinese seemingly readying for a large-scale war. And give us a sense, Gordon, of what they've been putting in place on these reclaimed islands in terms not only of airfields, but some of their other attributes.
Their airfields are extremely long, much longer than they would be needed for civilian purposes. So there's an indication that this is going to be these are going to be military fields. There are emplacements for what look like to be air defense systems, but also for air-to-ground cruise missiles. So essentially what we're seeing is China militarizing these islands, basically setting the stage for a South China Sea air defense identification zone. And that would be a game changer. They declared one over the East China Sea in November 2013, and clearly they're trying to restrict freedom of navigation. You know, this comes at the same time that the Chinese government announced a new commission to integrate the civilian and military economies, which means that we shouldn't be talking about trade just in trade terms. We should be looking at that in terms of China's militarization of its economy. This is essentially what happened in Japan in the 1930s. We need to recognize this pattern, and we need to recognize that commerce with China has a very important military component as well.
Gordon, one other feature of those, some of those facilities, at least on these islands, apparently are deep water ports, which you write in the Daily Beast, may well now become at least ports of call for surface combatants and submarines. Again, all part, it would appear, of a power projection capability that is quite ominous for dominating this incredibly important strategic waterway. Gordon, you also write in that article at the Daily Beast about the activities that the Chinese have been engaged in the course of all of this, aimed at really dismembering some of their neighbors in the Pacific. Talk a bit about that, and again, what this portends in terms of threats, not just to the United States, but to their neighbors.
Well, China, along its southern and eastern peripheries, wants land and sea under the control of other nations. We talk about the South China Sea, where China is trying to take parts of the Philippines, which it actually was successful in seizing Scarborough Shoal in early 2012, but also from its other South China Sea neighbors. In India, they want a couple of states, including Arunachal Pradesh and large portions of the Himalayas. And they also have military incursions in mountainous areas close to the capital of New Delhi. The Chinese want to control Aido Rock of South Korea, and they want the Senkaku Islands of Japan. Also, state media, state institutions are talking about how China should claim Okinawa and the rest of the Ryukyu chain from Japan. So this is a country that wants a large portion of its periphery to be under Chinese sovereignty, where right now it's under the control of other nations. China's using some very forceful tactics to do this. This is extremely dangerous. They need to hear the Trump administration say that the U.S. will defend its allies and friends, because if it doesn't do that, we're going to have a very bad dynamic, something that we saw in Europe in the 1930s, and of course in Japan's dismembering China in the 1930s.
Yeah, well, this is presumably part of the message that Rex Tillerson was trying to communicate with his comment that, quote, we're going to have to send China a clear signal that first the island building stops, and second, your access to those islands is also not going to be allowed, unquote. With that in mind, turn to another of the flashpoints, as you know, and you've covered this so well, including, of course, in your book, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. There is a very active effort now underway by the Chinese to coerce the South Koreans into foregoing an important part of their self-defense against North Korea. Talk about what's going on there, Gordon, and what is giving rise to an imperative need for the South Koreans to do just that.
In July, both the South Korean and American militaries jointly announced the deployment of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, THAAD, system in South Korea. This is an anti-missile system, and the Chinese are upset because they think that we can use it to not only shoot down incoming North Korean missiles, but also Chinese missiles headed towards the American homeland. China has been using coercive measures, some of them economic, some of them diplomatic, against South Korea. So, for instance, they're limiting Chinese tourists that can go to South Korea. They're not permitting the sale of South Korean cosmetics in China. They're not permitting South Korean K-pop groups to go to China. All sorts of little things right now, which are signals to Seoul that they should not allow the deployment of THAAD. This comes during South Korea's impeachment crisis. Park Geun-hye was impeached by the National Assembly. Her fate is now in the hands of the Constitutional Court. There could be a presidential election very soon, and that could bring to power the leftist progressives, and they would stop THAAD deployment. So the United States has a lot on the line. If you want an historical precedent, this is like the early 1980s when Reagan wanted to deploy the Pershing II cruise missile on NATO soil. The Soviets tried to stop NATO, but were unsuccessful. That was essential demonstration of will. THAAD is exactly the same thing, except a different time, different place.
Yeah. Gordon, I'm pleased that you mentioned that. I had a small role in that INF deployment and remember vividly how contested it was by the Soviets at the time. A lot in Europe didn't want it. Pressure was intense on President Reagan to back away from it. He didn't. I think it was the beginning of the end of the Soviet Union. Perhaps a stalwart role by Rex Tillerson and Donald Trump in this connection with South Korea will have a similar effect on the coming collapse of China, which you have been anticipating for a bit now. Gordon Chang, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Next up, we'll talk with Joseph Connor.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.